I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I'm going to say it again. The second time you listen and the third time you join with me. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Did you got it? Here we go. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Yes, this week I've been awarded a blue ribbon. No, I didn't win a marathon. Matter of fact, I don't even think I ran a few feet. But I did win a blue ribbon. No, it wasn't a tournament that I won, but I have become a grandfather this week. Don't all clap at once, okay? It would be deafening, that's right. Some of you are just impressed I can make it to the platform without the aid of somebody to help me. Yes, I'm a grandfather. This week on Tuesday, Sydney May Pierpont was born at 2 a.m. We went to see Sydney. And I prepared a letter to read to Sydney, and she listened so well, and she was alert and listening, I'm sure, and it meant a lot to her. Here it is. Sydney, because of you, I now have the honor of being a grandpa. And Phyllis, who wants to be called Gigi, the joy of being a grandmother. But more than grandparents, we're two who follow hard after the Lord Jesus. And that's our desire for you, Sydney. I'm just guessing you'll hear our hearts beating to the tune of Psalm 78. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Sydney, there's more than a lifetime of wondrous truths about God Almighty to tell you. We want you and your generation to know the awesome God we serve. May you be so awestruck that you tell your children, and they in turn tell their children about the glorious wonders of God Almighty. Though we're just meeting you for the first time, we love you and your parents, and we have no greater joy than to know that our children are walking in the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our hope and prayer is that you will know and love and serve Jesus with your entire life. Sydney, even from the foundation of the world, God has loved you, and now we do too. And I signed it, your Douglas grandparents, Gigi and whatever I'm going to be called. And so if you'd like to submit a vote for what I should be called, hand that to Phyllis and she'll be collecting those after the service. There we go. No, this isn't just about me today. This is about all of us. Because I have, and I'm going to change it to we have, no greater joy than to know that our children are walking in the truth. The Apostle John wrote those words, probably not a reference to an individual, but to a congregation. He was writing to a church, and there was great joy in knowing that the members of the church were walking in truth. Now, you may say, oh, great, this is a message about parenting today. I'm not a parent. I don't even want to be a parent. But I'm here to tell you that this message is for all of us today. Because you look around you right now, and up here in the front row, they've already departed for another class. But we have children. We have the next generation all around us. So this message is for all of us to have that great joy to hear that our children, the next generation, is walking in truth. That's for all of us today. That's the message for the day. And we're going to be looking today at Psalm 78, which you can find in your Bible. It's our concern as a church for the family and for our households, for the next generation. That's what this summer series is all about. And we're receiving the Lord's instruction from His Word, which build a foundation. And we've talked about that foundation that households need to be built upon. And what is that foundation? It is to know and to show the glory of God to the world, to the entire world. That's our foundation that our households should be built upon. And then on top of that foundation, we developed a framework that this house is built upon. And it's a framework. It's the supporting walls that frame our families. These came from Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, where we received the instruction, wives, to submit and respect to husbands, and husbands to love and to lead wives, and children to obey and honor parents, and fathers to train and instruct children. This is the framework that our houses need to be built on. And then we started exploring the various rooms in the house. And we've seen the parents' bedroom. The parents' bedroom. And we talked about the importance of a strong marriage within the household. Then we went to the studio room or the studio apartment where one person lives, realizing that even in our own congregation, there's some who have been called to live alone. And that is a calling of God upon some for various reasons. We talked about that room. And then last week, we talked about the children's bedroom. And as we cracked the door and we went into that room, we had David and Carolyn Merck with us. And we talked together about heart-centered parenting. So today we explore another room, and some of you are going to be very happy that we're going into the kitchen. Yes, the kitchen today, talking about healthy nutrition for our households, feeding our families spiritually. And that's where we come to Psalm 78 this morning, Psalm 78. And we're going to see in Psalm 78 what I'm going to call, we need to select from the right menu. We need to select from the right menu. There's a lot of menus out there trying to feed our families, right? But we need the right menu. And you've got the copy of the Word of God in front of you. And you have the text of Psalm 78, which we've read a portion of already. Here's the menu. Listen. And I'll read just the first couple of verses once again. Give ear, O people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that have heard, that we have heard and known, and that our fathers have told us. If we're going to talk about the spiritual nutrition in our households, We need to select the right nutrition. And we need to first know in our homes, what is our mission? What is priority in our home? These are two concepts that we need to talk about from Psalm 78. That mission, what's your priority? What's your priority in your home? Look at verse 4 of Psalm 78 where it says, we will not hide them. We will not hide them, this instruction, this teaching. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders He has done. If you want to know what your mission is, what our mission is in our household, we are there to tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders He has done. You see, each of us, and it doesn't really matter what your household looks like, but you have a household, you have a place you live, you need to ask yourself, what's the priority in our home? What's the focus of our home? And the scriptures here guide us to make this our mission, to tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders He has done. If you're looking for what your mission should be, according to the scriptures, there it is, to tell the next generation. Even if you're a single or you've never had children, we all have this responsibility to pass that on to the next generation, each one of us. Once again, look around the room. You're going to rub shoulders this week with someone that's younger than you, probably. That generation needs to be told the glorious deeds of the Lord. By the way, some people say, oh, let's not indoctrinate our children. Let's let them grow and explore different teachings and philosophies and theology. Let's let them decide what they will believe. I'm here to tell you that that will not lead them to the scriptures. We have been given the task to point them to the Lord. We don't let them choose. We guide them to make the right choice based on truth from the scriptures, because we have no greater joy than to hear that our children are walking in the truth. And we have the truth. And for us to keep the truth from the next generation is foolishness on our parts. Now, I want to say that loud and clear, because there's a lot of people that hold to that philosophy. Let them decide. And we're going to come back to that, because there is a sense that they need to make a choice. But let me be really clear and say we have a responsibility. That's our mission. And why is this so important? That's the purpose that I want you to look at with me from this text. Looking at verse 6 of Psalm 78, we need to tell the future generations so they will know the word. It says in verse 6 that the next generation might know them. Now, them is referring back to the testimony of Jacob or the law in Israel. It's talking about the word of God. It's talking about the scriptures. We need to make sure they know the word. They know them. And I have to pause and ask you a question. How important is the teaching? How much of a priority is the teaching of the word of God in your home? Now, you might not, we sometimes read the Bible, but let me ask you a question. When you examine your time, your talent, your treasure, does that show that the scriptures have a priority place in your home? That's the question that you have to ask, and it can only be done as you examine how you're spending your time, your talent, your treasure in your home. You see, the Bible should be seen and opened regularly in our homes. Sunday morning's not the place to be saying, hey, where's my Bible? Where did you put it after you got home from church last week? You know, that's the wrong. It should be a part of our regular rhythm in our homes, the scripture should be. That's one reason it's so important, is so that the future generation will know the word, and also so the future generation will tell their future generation this truth about God. It needs to be passed on from generation to generation. And that hasn't always happened. We've had generations that have gapped knowing the scriptures. And of course, we could take you to the story of Josiah in the Old Testament, when the scriptures had been lost by the previous generation. Another reason this is so important to fulfill this mission is because the future generations need to set their hope on God. You know what? People all around us are trying to set their hope on the world, or the economy, or the policy, or entertainment. But we need to set our hope on God, as we see in verse 6, or verse 7, so that they should set their hope in God. And it goes on to say in verse 7, and not forget the works of God. Do you know if we don't tell the next generation about the wondrous deeds of God, that they will forget his wondrous deeds? They will forget them. As you look at the rest of Psalm 78 here, it's filled with accounts of God's greatness, of God's working in the nation of Israel. There's miraculous things that happened as they left Egypt and as they moved on towards the promised land. But many of them forgot what God had done. Just look at verse 32 of that same chapter, and it tells you that they had forgot and they did not believe. We have a responsibility so the next generation won't forget what God has done. And also in verses 7 and 8 it says, but keep his commandments. We need to tell the next generation so they will keep the commandments that are written in the scriptures for us and not be disobedient like their forefathers, it says in verse 8, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. That's what happened to the Israelites. We need to tell the next generation so they'll obey the scriptures and not disobey the Lord. And by the way, we have a way of sitting around and talking about how bad the world is. But I got to pause and say, am I being and living obedient to the Lord? It's got to start with me. And then we can tell the next generation so they will keep his commandments. Now you may be thinking, well, you don't understand, David. My heritage is so messed up. My grandfather was so, my father was, well, I'm here to tell you that we're not talking about your grandfather today or your father. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. It's never too late to make a change. You see, your family's past track record doesn't define you today. And God is ready to extend grace. He's waiting for you to call out to him and then help you teach the next generation the glorious, wondrous deeds of God. It's never too late. If you'll just call out to him saying, God, help me. Help me to teach the next generation about you. And then you submissively obey him, it will make a difference. It's never too late. But Pastor David, you don't understand. I am the only one in my family who has this view of God. I'm all alone. What difference can I make in the life of my household? Well, to answer that objection, I want to tell you the story of two women. Two women. Now, I don't know a lot about the mom in the situation. I know that she was a Jew, and I know that she was married to a Gentile, which would have been a bad thing for her in her culture to be married to a Gentile when she was a Jew. But she had a love for her son. And it appears in the scriptures that she was the one trying to teach her son about God Almighty. Her husband was no help. She was married, but she had a mother. She had a mother who was helping her introduce her son to God Almighty. Do you know the mother's name? Her name is Eunice. And her mom's name was Lois. And I want you to read with me a little bit of this, just a little bit, because we don't have a lot of information. But I take your Bibles, open now to the New Testament, the back portion of your Bible, and look at 2 Timothy with me. And this will help with that objection. If you're feeling alone, like I'm trying to tell the next generation, but I'm doing it without the aid of a spouse, or I'm the only one in my household, or I just feel alone. Well, here's help. Here's two ladies that were successful in teaching their son about Almighty God. And you find it there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read the first portion of this. Let's see in verse, let's just jump in verse 3. I thank my God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. This is the Apostle Paul writing to one of his mentees, a young man named Timothy. Timothy. And he's writing this to Timothy. And in verse 4, he says, I remember your tears, Paul writing to Timothy. I long to see you that I might be filled with joy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother, there's her name, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. We're talking about Timothy's sincere faith. It was prompted by his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. Now, Timothy, no doubt, was named by his parents, and his name Timothy actually means one who honors God. So here's a Jewish lady, Eunice, who wanted her son to honor God. She wanted her son to honor God, but there's a mixed home here. Her husband's Gentile. She's Jewish. It's a mixed home. But she wasn't alone, because her mother, Lois, was there to help her. Aren't you thankful for grandmothers like Lois? See, our family life group that I'm going to attend tonight and have attended, it's made up of all grandparents. So Phyllis and I really fit in now. Past few weeks, we felt kind of out of place. But tonight, with our family life group, we're going to feel right at home. And when we talk about these concepts of the household, our family life group often talks about, well, my grandson, my granddaughter. I'm here to tell you I'm thankful for grandparents who love Jesus. And not only grandparents, but we have some in our family life group that don't have children of their own, but they have nieces and great nieces and great nephews. And you know what? We're talking a lot about them too. I'm here to tell you that Eunice and Lois, what they were doing in the life of Timothy, some of us are doing in the lives of our next generation. I'm thankful for grandparents. I'm thankful for adopted aunts. Phyllis and I raised our kids 500 miles from our family. Well, not 500, but probably 300-400 miles from our family. And Phyllis and I had adopted aunts. Our kids, or we didn't, but our kids had adopted aunts and uncles. And they would call them aunt and uncle. And those adopted aunts and uncles and adopted grandparents would show up at our kids' special events, wouldn't they, Phyllis? And so you, wherever you are, can have the next generation and make an influence in them. Now, parents in the room, I'm going to give you this advice that you need to look to the wisdom of aunts and uncles and grandparents and be open to include them in your family gatherings. Your kids need that. And you need them. You need their support all along the way. Grandparents, get involved in the lives of your grandkids. Aunts and uncles, build into them as much as you're allowed. But don't butt in, but go in when you're invited. Build in the lives of that generation. And pray like crazy for them. Pray like crazy for them. Which, by the way, that takes us back to last week's message. You remember intercession? We ought to be praying like crazy for this next generation. That was Timothy. He was prompted. His sincere faith was prompted by his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. And Timothy's sincere faith developed even from his childhood. Look at it with me, and you'll see it in chapter 3. We're going to turn to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Just little tidbits we're seeing from the Apostle Paul writing this letter to Timothy. In chapter 1, we saw that his mother and grandmother built into his lives, but in chapter 3, there's a contrast here that's taking place. I'm not going to read the whole section, but it talks about in verse 13, about the evil people and the imposters and how they will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then we get to verse 14, and there's a contrast. It says, but for you. So, Timothy, you should be different than these evil people. But for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. From childhood. You see, Timothy's faith developed from childhood. Everybody listen. It's never too early to begin teaching the next generation about the wonderful works of God. It's never too early. That's why I read the letter to Sydney yesterday. And I was thrilled to hear that Lydia and Taylor have already prayed with Sydney. And matter of fact, when Sydney was still in the womb, Taylor, our son-in-law, would pray for Sydney. Hello in there. Can you hear me? I'm praying for you. It's never too early to start influencing the next generation. Getting ahead of myself, but in the back, I put all kinds of resources on a table for you to look at. And there's books there that are on my shelf. No, my bookshelf's not in the bathroom, but it is in my office. And there's a story behind that, and if you weren't at ABF, you've just missed it. But those books are a collection of books that Phyllis and I had when our kids were growing up. Now listen to this. Somewhere along the line, I said, I'm not going to throw away those books. I've moved them all over from Michigan to Indiana and out of Ohio. Why did I keep these books about children's Bibles and children's Bible stories and all of, why did I keep them? Because I'm convinced that we need to tell the next generation about the wonderful deeds of our great and almighty God. And so I can't wait to take those books and visit my grandkids. They're going to sit on Grandpa's lap, and we're going to have story time. So I'm excited about that, and you should be too. It's never too early to begin training the next generation about the wonderful deeds of God. And by the way, tonight, if you attend a family life group, I want you to do an exercise with your group. As a group, you're going to pretend for a minute and you're going to think about developing a little Bible lesson or a Bible story time for the next generation. And ask yourself in your family life group, what are some specific ways we can teach the next generation about the wonderful truths of God? So look at that tonight as a group. But remember, Timothy learned it from childhood. and it's never too early to begin teaching the next generation. What are we teaching them? Well, Timothy's sincere faith grew. It grew from his time in the Word. And that's the phrase there that we just read, the sacred writings. The sacred writings that we, it says, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Everybody look at your Bible, and most of your Bibles probably say something on it. Mine's kind of wore off, but it says Holy Bible. That's what we've got here. The word sacred, holy, writings is a Bible or scripture, and so Holy Bible. And Timothy, his faith grew as he heard the scriptures from his mom and from his grandmother teaching him the Old Testament. And later the Apostle Paul came in and began to speak to him, and it appears as if Timothy came to know and understand Jesus as the Messiah through the teaching of the Apostle Paul. That's what it appears to be. But there was a great foundation built by his mother and grandmother. How does your house view this book? Sacred writings. Holy Bible. Or is this just a book? Is it just a book? I love this book. As a matter of fact, one thing you can do is you can build a respect for the scriptures by asking for one for a birthday or Father's Day. And so it is, I wanted a Bible for Father's Day and back in 1996. And my family bought me this Bible, this one I'm carrying right here now, for Father's Day. And at that time, Daniel was almost two. So there's Daniel's handprint in the Bible, almost two. And right below it in pink is our daughter Lydia's handprint. She was four and a half at that point. And so they gave me this for Father's Day. And when Phyllis helped them put their handprint in there, to surprise me, she was communicating something very special about this book. This is a gift for your father. And so she was raising the standard and giving a respect for this copy. Fast forward 16 years later to another Bible that was given to me at Father's Day. And now Lydia is over 20 and Daniel's nearing 20 when they gave me this in 2012 for Father's Day. And here's what they wrote in my Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, so they're writing a prayer and writing it in my Bible. We pray that our earthly father, that'd be me, will walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in your knowledge. Raise Dad up to be a courageous, strong and loving leader as he guides our family. And give him an unceasing hunger for studying your word. Isn't that something? And I'm not going to read the rest of it. But my kids, somewhere along the line, learned the importance of the scriptures that they would write that in this Bible and give it to me at Father's Day. Sacred writings. How is the Word of God viewed in your home? Let me say this, that the scriptures should be highly respected. Why? Because they bring us to salvation, as we read in verse 15. The sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This book, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want the next generation to know Jesus, we need to get this, not just in their heads, but we need to get this in their hearts. And that happens repeatedly as we spend time in the book, the sacred writings. Why else? Why else are the sacred writings so important? Is because they equip us to serve, as the text says. It says all Scripture is given by, or all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's the word inspiration. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. So whether you homeschool your family or not, your home is a school. And there's no curriculum more important than the Word of God. You see, these ancient words are not outdated, but they are relevant. They're what we need, and this should be the training guide for our homes. The Bible, the sacred writings must be honored. There's no activity more important than this. And our time and our talents and our treasures should show that to our families. Timothy, though, I want to say this real clear, because he heard the scriptures from childhood, from his mother, grandmother, but ultimately, Timothy's continuation in the faith was his responsibility. And I get that from the text, verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us, "You, however, have followed." And also in verse 14 it says, "But as for you," talking to Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed." I think all parents and grandparents and we all have some regrets, and we wish we would have done things differently. And it may be appropriate at times to ask for a forgiveness of the next generation, saying, I didn't do what I should have, and I want to ask your apology. You know, that might be appropriate to seek forgiveness. But I'm here to tell you that ultimately, the next generation must decide for themselves whether they will follow the Lord or not. Some of us have regrets that weigh on us, that keep us awake at night because the next generation is not following the Lord. And we need to understand that ultimately it's got to be their responsibility to follow the Lord. So if you have regrets, you may need to talk with them and ask for their forgiveness. But understand that you cannot change their heart. They have to make that decision for themselves. And that was Timothy. No doubt Eunice, no doubt Lois, and obviously the Apostle Paul were rejoicing that Timothy chose to follow the Lord. I wish I could say more about that, but let's not give up. You might say, well, is there any reason I need to do this if they're going to make their own decision? No. We make intentional effort to teach, to reprove, to correct, for training in righteousness, that they will be men of God, men and women of God who seek His righteousness. And we need to pray like crazy. You see, the intercession is really important, but so is the instruction. The instruction is key, and that's what we must do. Now, let me just finish with a few practical points that you're going to continue on talking about in your family life groups tonight. And let me just say this, that as we begin to prepare the right recipes, I'm going to use that, for a nutritionist meal. How do you say that, Phyllis? Nutrition, for a nutritious meal, a healthy meal. For a healthy meal, you have to have the right ingredients. You have to have the right ingredients. And I'm here to tell you that the most important ingredient for this healthy meal we're talking about is not bacon, okay? Some of you are thinking, oh, he's talking about bacon. No, no, no. If you want to feed your family a healthy meal spiritually, you start right here with the sacred writings. Every recipe that we're going to develop should include the scriptures. Get this into the mind and the hearts of the coming generation. Help them to fall in love with the scriptures. So here's some, that's just one recipe in the first, or that's one ingredient of the recipe. It's listening to the Lord. That's the first and most important recipe, is listen to the Lord. Read it. Read it. Small portions, but over and over again, read it in your household. And then the next ingredient that's really important is just talking to the Lord as a family, talking to the Lord, praying. We develop that in our kids' lives so much that now they do it with each other. They'll say, we got to pray, we got to pray. And so they pause and pray, don't they, Phyllis? It's pretty sweet. And by the way, if that's new to you, if praying seems awkward in your household, know that that's normal, because it's a spiritual act, and the enemy obviously doesn't want us to pray to God Almighty. And I encourage you to begin to develop that habit, and it will become easier. Husbands, initiate that with your wife. Pray with her. Moms and dads, pray with your children. Aunts and uncles, pray with your nieces and nephews. Pray with the next generation. That's an ingredient that's really important. And then worshiping the Lord together. Together, worshiping the Lord. Oh, you ought to take your kids in a walk in the night when it's dark and look up into the heavens and say, God created all of this. He is amazing. He has them numbered. He has them named. Worship with the next generation. Put them in a place where they have to face Almighty God's creative hand and see his wonders. Worship with them. That's an ingredient. And then another one is just gathering with God's people, with the Lord's people. This is important because so often, oh, I don't feel well today, and we miss the opportunity of gathering together as a body. We've got to include that ingredient with our households if we want them to know the wondrous Lord that we serve. And then serving the Lord together. Find opportunities for service with your family. We had the privilege of raising our kids at a Christian camp, and it was just common after a camp event that our kids would tag along with us and help us in the kitchen, washing dishes. Or Daniel would wander all over the camp with me, picking up trash, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, or whatever it is. Get your kids involved in ministry. Grab a shovel. Begin shoveling neighbor's drive. Find things that you can do together. And then when they get older, take your kids on a missions trip. Lydia and I had a wonderful trip to Mexico years ago, and what a joy it was to see her laboring on a field, working with a local church in Mexico, putting on a kids program. We did that together. Serve together. That's an important ingredient to a spiritually healthy recipe made for your family. Now, there are some sample recipes from the Shawnee Hills Baptist Church cookbook. And do you want a page from the cookbook? Yes or no? You want a page for the cookbook? Well, you can get a page from the Shawnee Hills Baptist Church cookbook in the foyer today. We're selling them. No, we're not selling them, but they are free today, just today. We're going to start charging tomorrow. And there's a pink one, and I think there's a purple one, and one was made by, these are suggestions from the Mahalski family. Kelly put together a list. But no doubt, Moe's fingerprints were all over that list, Kelly. And there's a bunch of creative ideas there on how you can include your family in some of these things that we've talked about. So that's a page right out of the Shawnee Hills Baptist Church cookbook. And you guys would love to talk about that. I'm not going to let you do that right now because we got to quit. But you can talk to them in person and get their ideas. The other one came from another missionary of ours that's not here this morning, but Christine Hayden, Thailand. She sent us a whole list of ideas too, and it's available. That page from the Shawnee Hills cookbook is back there too. So pick that up, and you'll see all kinds of creative ideas of how you can get your family involved in some what I would call regular family conversations. Regular family conversations. And those might take place at the table, at a meal, or at bedtime. I don't know why it is, but kids love to talk at bedtime when I want to go to bed. Dan used to drive me crazy. I'd be all ready for bed, and he'd come plop down, and he'd want to talk. And Phyllis would say, honey, it's going to be okay. Let him sit here and talk. We need to listen. Make it fast. I want to go to sleep, you know. Take advantage of those conversations at bedtime, at the table. You know, the last words that are said right before a child goes to sleep are very important. Do you pray with the next generation just before they doze off at night? Do you use those moments to read to them the sacred writings? Get that in their heads before they go to sleep. Oh, what a joy that was through the years to do that with our kids. And then there's these unplanned talks. This is another sample recipe from this Shawnee Hills cookbook, is these unplanned talks that help that happen all along the way. And I think it's Kelly that put on this piece of paper, but just car talk, I think is what you called it. When you're with the next generation and they're riding with you, you got a captive audience right there, man. You can have some great conversations while you're driving along the road. And no doubt you're going to make observations as you drive along the road that are worth pointing out. But they're also watching us when we're driving down the road. So when you get cut off in traffic, be very careful what you say. Or you can teach them about repentance at that moment and confession, okay? Those unplanned moments all along the way. And then the last category I will mention will be occasional family celebrations. Now, I was going to briefly mention this because next week we're going to pick up on this concept and talk a little bit deeper about it. But mark the miles with special events. Well, what are the special events in your household for the next generation? Well, of course, the day of their birth, like I read to Sydney. She's only going to have one day of her physical birth, okay? But Lord willing, Sydney will have a second rebirth. She'll have a day of her salvation, and you know what? She's going to get a letter from Grandpa, and it's going to be a long one. And I'm going to enjoy spending that celebration with Sydney and her parents at that moment. By then, there might be a dozen other kids, too. I don't know. And then there's other special occasions that you can mark the miles, like you've got the starting school. That's worth a letter, isn't it? Or it might be the 16th birthday, or it might be the 18th birthday, or the 21st birthday. And I wrote letters to my kids at some of these mile markers. The one I really enjoyed, we got to quit too, by the way, but was when our kids got married. Well, that's a fun letter to write. You got all kinds of advice for him at that moment. And what a joy it was to grab my son in the church he was getting married at, and I said, come with me. And we went into a broom closet in the church, and I read him that letter. And he just cried, and I was crying. We were messing up all our good clothes for the wedding. That was a mile marker. And so parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, mark the miles of these special family celebrations in some of these ways. There's a whole lot more I can say. I mean, I'm just scratching the surface. And if you look at that, those samples from the cookbook back there, you'll get all kinds of great ideas. Yeah, and I've got a ton more, and you're sure welcome to ask, and we'll tell you more about those later. I also want to mention, though, just you ought to be a student of the next generation. And here's some resources that might help you. It was referred to last week. One of the resources was a book by Ted Tripp, Shepherding a Child's Heart. And this is one that Phyllis just recently read, but a significant book that will encourage you to build this in the next generation. Also, John MacArthur has written a book, A Faith to Grow On. And another good one, I got a sample in the back. You can see that for yourself. And no doubt you can get that on Amazon, shipped to you just like that. And then here's an old resource that we used when our kids were young, and it's called An Introduction to Family Nights. And I got a couple samples of that back there so you can see as well. Those are still available on Amazon, even though they're about 20 years old now. And these are all just samples. There's a ton of resources. But the question is, are we so convinced that he is an awesome, awesome, wondrous God that we want the next generation to know about him? It's got to start with us. We have to be so convinced that he is that great, that he is our great God of highest heaven. We have to ask him to occupy our lowly heart. We have to ask him to own it all of our heart, and to reign supreme. We have to ask him to conquer every rebel power and to let no vice or sin remain that resist your holy war. You see, the reality is while we were yet sinners, the most amazing, wondrous work of God took place. While we were yet sinners. And what was that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Start there with your child. Tell them your testimony. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. May that be a part of telling the next generation how wondrous God is. Music team's going to come to the platform right now. And the song that we're going to sing is just that. And it has this line, "You have loved and purchased me," speaking to God Almighty. "You have made me yours forever." Will you bow with me? There's a whole lot more we could say, but it's got to start with me. It's got to start with you. And Father, we need you because you are worthy to be praised with every thought and deed. Oh, great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me. And then through my family. Father, we need you to tell the next generation. Would you help us to understand how great you are, your awesome deeds? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go sit right